I'm Andreas Vaniatis, and this is SEO in 2024.
Andreas, what is your number one SEO tip for 2024?
My number one tip for SEO in 2024 would be to use Python string matching functions to increase the relevance of your internal links on your website.
Lovely and specific. Love that. Can we break it down, starting off with a brief explanation of Python and the value of that to SEO?
Yeah, so what I love about Python is that it can scale SEO pretty well. A lot of SEOs will be working in spreadsheets, and there's restrictions or limitations as to what a spreadsheet can do, not just in the scale of the data it can handle, like the number of rows, for example, also the complexity and the functions and calculations that it can do with that data. So for example, if you're optimizing a high traffic website with tons of pages, or, you know, let's say an Amazon as an extreme example, then you're going to find doing scalable SEO analysis in an Excel sheet pretty limiting, or even Google Sheets.
So what software then, if not Excel, should an SEO use to do this?
Well, you would use an IPython notebook, also known as Jupyter, and you would run Python code. And with respect to the tip that I'm putting forward, you can import string matching functions, where what you can do is you could take your target keyword and you can compare that to the title tags of your site pages to try and find the best site page to hyperlink, to send internal links to that page.
Okay, so you're not doing this as a way to determine whether or not a page is optimized sufficiently, that piece of content is optimized sufficiently. It's just about actually finding the most appropriate internal page to link to.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you could use it for that. That's a different use case of Python. Python has many of them for scalable SEO or data-driven SEO, both. But in this case, yes, what we're trying to do here is we're trying to find, say, blog posts or other types of content in order to place internal links on and help reshape the importance of your target content for Google and other search engines.
And talk a little bit about your ultimate recommended scoring system for this. So you talked about the page title, also the body content as well. What elements are you looking for here?
I mean, the great thing about doing this is that there's so many different ways to approach it. But just at a basic level, you could take your target keyword, take the title tags of all of your content, and then you simply just use a string matching function to calculate the similarity. And then based on the similarity metric, you know, you could use a quick rule of thumb to say anything that's 60% or above, you know, those would be considered suitable pages to place internal links on. You could do it at the body content level. That's a bit more complex because obviously you have to find a way of ingesting that content into a spreadsheet cell, or what we call a data frame in Python language, to do that kind of calculation. But again, it's possible thanks to Python. The other thing you could do is, if you didn't know what a good rule of thumb is, you can go even deeper and say, right, okay, well, you know, I want to model the median or the 95th percentile of what's considered relevant. So I determined my rule of thumb on a statistical basis rather than just something that you pulled out of thin air.
Okay. And I guess it's one thing being able to actually determine the relevance in relation to a particular keyword phrase, but there are also other metrics, possibilities you can bring in, such as intent. Would you be able to incorporate that into what you're looking for?
Yeah, you absolutely can. You know, you could, for example, if you had the target keyword for your site content, then what you can do is you could have another separate column which you've predetermined whether those two keywords share the same search intent or not, you know?
So what are the data sources required for this? Do you rely on existing sources of data for the live pages, the perhaps indexed web pages that you currently have?
Yeah. So I would probably, just as, you know, if you wanted to do this at a basic level, you could just rely on crawling data alone. If you wanted to get search intent involved, then obviously you'll need SERPs data so that you can determine what the SERP similarity is between the target keyword and the focus keyword of the content page that you're looking to compare the search intent of, right? So that would be that. If you wanted to look at whether Google was actually crawling that page live, you would obviously use server logs. Yeah, I mean, that's the start of 10.
Okay. And you would want to ensure that there aren't pages indexed or pages incorporated, URLs incorporated in your data that you definitely wouldn't want to promote or link to. So how do you go about cleaning any URLs that you wouldn't want to link to?
Yeah, that's a separate tip, I would say. So, but let's get to it. So one of the things that I do is I like to model the page rank or the link equity of a website using both crawl data, so I could get the internal page rank, if you want to call it that, and I also use external backlink data, so I can get the external page rank. And then I amalgamate those two data sources together to get what I would call the effective page rank, you know, so it combines both the internal and the external. And then using that, you can transform or pivot your existing site structure away from the typical catalog product group structure, which might make sense from a kind of librarian perspective, and move it more towards what is the content the internet is more interested in, you know?
Should any SEO understand this, be doing this, or is it primarily a technical SEO thing?
Well, to me, any SEO should have the holistic view, right? So I would say both should understand it, because if you call yourself an SEO generalist, then I personally would have the expectation, or an SEO consultant, that you have competency, if not experience or understanding of the holistic elements of SEO, you know, your technical, your content, and your backlinks, if you want to call it that, or off page. Now, technical, almost certainly, but if you said, should an SEO content strategist know how to do this? In that case, I would say no.
Now, you also talk about using statistical distributions to model the relevance and highlight underserved target content. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so for example, if you look at, say, the median amount of internal links to product categories that are, you know, the median internal links to a product category on an e-commerce site will be very different to, say, the median internal links to a product item, okay? So what I'm trying to get away from is a hard and fast rule to say, okay, well, any pages that have less than 10 internal links, you know, add more links or add X amount of links. Whereas if you use statistical distributions, what you're really doing is you're taking a more kind of smarter, or if you want to call it that, or a more tailored approach. You know, you're taking a segmented approach. So you're accounting for the fact that not all content are equal. You know, for example, your product categories, you'd expect them to have more internal links, so the threshold will be higher, whereas the product items may have less, or it might be the other way around, but you get my point, is to take a segmented approach. And also by using distributions, you're moving away from hard and fast rules.
So is this just for internal links, or can this approach also be used to determine the optimum landing page for prospective external links?
Oh, you can apply it to absolutely everything. That's the whole premise of being data-driven.
So how do you measure the ROI of improved internal linking?
That's a really good question. What you would do is obviously you'd benchmark the ROI beforehand, and then it's almost like a split test, right? So you would benchmark what it was before. Then what you could do is you could either make the change following the model recommendations after and see what the ROI is afterwards. But obviously you would need to, if you're going to make this change site-wide, then you'd want to do a split AA test, because you're comparing the result of the internal linking of the same URL before and after against itself, just in the later period of time. Or if you wanted to make it truly scientific, then you would conduct a split AB test. So you would only make that change on other collection of underlinked URLs, and you would measure the revenue before and after, and you would compare it to the control group.
And you also tend to enhance usability, user experience, by providing better or more relevant internal links to the user, or is this primarily with a search engine in mind?
Well, in theory, and in many cases, in a practical sense, search engine, SEO, and user experience are generally aligned, not always. So I'd say by optimizing it for the search engines, you're also optimizing it for the user, because if the user knows what they're getting before they click on the link, then I would assume you're helping users.
If an SEO is struggling for time, what should they stop doing right now so they can spend more time doing what you suggest in 2024?
Yeah, I would, if there's anything I would recommend, is stop getting better at Excel and retrain in Python.
And is that for every SEO activity that you're talking about there? You're saying stop using Excel, or just limit your use of Excel?
To me, they're one of the same thing. Like, I rarely personally use Excel. I only use Google Sheets for putting together nice graphs, because the ones produced by Python are they're a bit too sciencey for a business audience. So limit, stop, I would probably, yes, I suppose a more diplomatic and practical approach would be to say limit your use of Excel and retrain in Python, and you'll get to the point where you'll have this dilemma where you'll say, it would take me seconds in Excel, but, you know, what if I can invest half an hour or 10 minutes to 1 hour to work out how to do this in Python? What would take me seconds in Excel? And eventually it will get to the point where you could do so much more in Python that you'll drop Excel like a hot potato.
And SEOs have been using Excel for 10 plus years. So will SEOs be using Python for 10 plus years, or is it not particularly well future-proofed?
I think it is very well future-proofed. That doesn't mean to say there won't be a language in 10 to 15 years, or even 20, probably 10 to 15 years that won't supersede Python, you know? But, you know, the great thing is, once you learn a computing language, those skills are pretty transferable to any other computing language. You know, for example, I started out in R, which is a statistical computing language. And as I saw that more of the SEO community or industry were moving or favoring Python, it was a really easy switch for me to go from R to Python. You know, a lot of the keywords or function names are identical.
Andreas Voniatis is founder at Artius, and you can find him over at artius.com. Andreas, thanks so much for being part of SEO in 2024.
Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure.
I've been your host, David Bain. Get your copy of SEO in 2024, the book, over at SEOin2024.com.